You are listening to the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi. Enjoy today's edition of Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Pepsi. That's what I like.
Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Welcome into the Friday edition of Sports Call, live on Tiger 95.9, sportscallauburn.com. Ryan LaVoy and Javon Cutler with you today, as we're live from our studios in South College Street. No J.J. Jackson today. You will hear him in just a couple hours here on Tiger 95.9, as we once again have a shortened show today. We will be getting off the air at 4:15, as we've done a couple times already this week. Auburn softball opening up a three-game series against number 12 Kentucky. That first pitch is scheduled for just after 5 o'clock. 4:45 airtime here on Tiger 95.9. So last, we will be getting off air around 4:15 today. So don't have any guests today, but we will be talking to callers on our Auburn Bank phone line at 887-341 locally, toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We will finally reveal the player of the week. We've gone all week and not revealed Sports Call Player of the Week, and it's still very relevant, though, today, our Player of the Week this week. So we will get to that at some point. We'll also talk all things A-Day, as Auburn A-Day is set for 1 o'clock tomorrow, 12:30 here on the Auburn Sports Network over on our sister station, WQSI FM Talk 93.9. Be a busy day on the network tomorrow as they have a double broadcast right after that A-Day game. We'll have game three of a series between Auburn and Alabama. Alabama beating the Tigers in game one last night in 10 innings, 8-7. And there was a very close game. So that game two is tonight, and game three will be after A-Day tomorrow. So a busy weekend of Auburn sports. We have football for the first time since the end of 2020. And it'll be really exciting, so we'll talk a lot about that. We'll also talk a little bit about the Atlanta Braves if we have time, as well as they're playing right now. Once again, across our entire communication family of networks, they're playing on WAUD 1230 a.m. as we speak. They lead the Cubs 4-1 in the fifth. So a lot to talk about today. We'll focus a lot on Auburn A-Day, as I said, and I'm glad to be doing that with my good friend Javon Cutler today. Javon, how are you doing?
Doing good, Ryan. Doing good. Glad it is a Friday. Thank God it's Friday, as the saying goes, and we've got a lot of Auburn sports to talk about. Like you mentioned, we've lost a tough one in baseball yesterday. It went kind of tit for tat. Both teams were going, but ultimately Auburn falls to Alabama. But hey, we still got another game to play, so we'll see if Auburn could salvage a game out of this one. And like you mentioned, got Auburn softball coming up at 5 o'clock, so that'll be exciting to listen to JJ Jackson hopefully bring home a win for the Auburn softball team. And news last night about Auburn sports. Unique Thompson got drafted by the Indiana Fever with the 19th overall pick. So congrats to Unique Thompson, who became the first Tiger drafted since Dewana Bonner in 2009. So it's a huge accomplishment for a player we all know and absolutely adore here on the Plains, a player who gave her heart and soul to this team for the past couple of years. Basically, could pencil her in for a double-double, it felt like, every single game. So best of luck to Unique Thompson as she has her future endeavors set for the WNBA and Indiana Fever. So great news out of Indiana for her. And like you mentioned, the Braves are playing right now, playing the Cubs, looking to try to inch closer towards 500. The Braves currently at 5-8 right now, not having the best of seasons. Not a season that any of us in Braves country thought they would have had, but still plenty of time left. Still no panic, I'd say, from this team. And right now, the Cubs are a team that's struggling as well. They're a team that's 5-7. They're pitching, like they mentioned in the broadcast earlier, is their strength, but the bullpen is the strength as well. But their hitting hasn't been that timely, and we all know they have some pretty well-established hitters in their lineup, like Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Javier Baez. But just things have not clicked for the Cubs thus far this season. But as far as pertaining to today's show, I think everybody will love the player of the week that we're going to announce here later. And, of course, going to hit on some birthdays, hit on some A-Day news and information, as that is tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about A-Day and seeing what this Auburn football team is capable of in 2021. We'll get our first look at that tomorrow afternoon. But overall, I'm doing great. Glad to be on the show and ready to get this shortened hour of Sports Call on the way.
Yeah, what, like we said, this is our third short show of the week, so we've definitely had a little bit less Sports Call than normal. I know the guys did Sports Call overtime yesterday because Mr. Deshaun Davis was in town, was able to stop by for a little bit. Good to see him again. Haven't seen him for a while. He's been doing great things in Mobile, opening up his new gym and getting ready for CFL football, which starts in about a month or two. So really good to see Deshaun yesterday, so we went a little bit overtime. But today, like we said, just an hour 15, so let's get right into it about Auburn A-Day. And first and foremost, we talked a couple times about it this week. The weather forecast is looking okay. It's looking a little better than it did earlier in the week. High of 68 tomorrow, so pretty good temperature there. A few showers early with overcast skies later in the day, says the National Weather Service. So 40% chance of rain. So maybe in the morning a few raindrops to dodge, but hopefully a all-in-all mostly dry day tomorrow and then a pretty comfortable day, not what you're accustomed to seeing in mid-April in the state of Alabama. So with that in mind, let's talk about what we expect to see on the field. And I want to start by, you know, I don't want to start with the obvious of Bo Nix, because I think everyone is intrigued to see how Bo Nix starts in this offense and to see what it looks like. Something, Javon, I'm looking forward to maybe more than what has been talked about this week is I'm looking forward to seeing Tank Bigsby, because, you know, everyone in this offense is under a new scheme. And so for him, he's going from being a, you know, beside the quarterback in the shotgun downhill type of runner to being more so in the pro style and having the quarterback, you know, under center for him and have more of a you know, run towards the line of scrimmage as he's being handed off the ball. It's not very complex. It's not completely different, but it's a little bit different. And, you know, I think with what we saw from him last year and how great he was, and then knowing what you have in Sean Shivers and how Shivers has been productive as the number two back for a long time, I guess with all these question marks, with who's going to step up at wide receiver, how much the offensive line is going to develop, because they're all back, but how much better can they get? With Bo Nix, can he take the next step, and can he thrive in Mike Bobo's offense? I guess I just want to see Tank Bigsby have a good game, just to show me he's going to be every bit as good as you think he's going to be. He's going to be a sure thing for Auburn. You don't have to worry about the ground game. He's going to thrive in it. And so, not that I have those doubts, just want to see and remind myself of how good Tank Bigsby can be and how the Auburn offense is starting from a place of strength there when they do hand the ball off to number four. Javon, what about you? What are you looking for? I guess we'll start on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point as far as Tank Bigsby, because something that Brian Harsin does bring is that system for running backs to thrive in. And I know Boise State had that streak where it was a couple of backs that had 1,000-yard seasons, and that was attributed to what Brian Harsin did. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how Harsin utilizes Tank Bigsby, because he had an absolutely stellar season for a freshman last year with the Tigers, and he's a guy that we're relying heavily on this season because we know he has the raw tools to really make an impact and potentially become that best back in the SEC if he's not already a top five back. So I think that Tank Bigsby is a guy for sure to look forward to, and not to generalize a whole position group, but I think the offensive line as well, because they've been much maligned throughout Bo Nix's tenure in the past couple of years with when Gus Malzahn was here, because they never could seem to find some type of consistency. Bo Nix was always scrambling for his life, trying to make a throw out of nothing. But I think that this offensive line really needs to step up, and I think it'll help once you get a Brandon Council back, a guy who was looked on last year to be that veteran before he got hurt. So I think for the Tigers, hopefully this offensive line will improve, and it helps that they hired a guy like Will Friend, who brings a reputation of developing offensive linemen, and it'll be really fun to see what he does next offseason, looking ahead a little bit, because he's a guy that has brought in the past 4- or 5-star offensive line recruits, but I want to see what he does this year with this group of Tigers, and I think that this offensive line is going to be really crucial to the success of Bo Nix, because he is going to be now in a pro-style offense instead of that Gus Malzahn spread-style offense. So I think offensive line is a huge factor. And to dabble a little bit some more, I think that the wide receiver group is going to be really interesting too, because it's a younger wide receiver group. You're losing guys like Seth Williams, Anthony Schwartz, so you're going to have to rely on these younger guys like Elijah Kenyon to step up, Javarius Johnson to step up. So for Auburn, it's going to be maybe some growing pains you might see in this 8A, but as a fan, you're just hoping to get it all together by this first game of the season. But I'm really high on this offense, and I think it has potential to be a really great offense heading into 2021.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about Javarius Johnson throughout the spring and what he can bring, because that's a good point, Javon, that they are replacing really the entire wide receiving core. I mean, they're having to come up with, you know, we saw, and with Bo Nix was in trouble last year, if he was running for his life or if he had one read, it was to Seth Williams. And we saw a lot from Anthony Schwartz, even Eli Stove, losing him as the number three wide receiver. So, you know, the bowl game notwithstanding, the bowl game was different. A lot of these younger guys played in that one and stepped up, and that's why we know about Elijah Kenyon. But like, except for that, I mean, they're replacing everything predominantly from their receiving core. And so with a quarterback that you still want to see more from, it's not to the point where you just can say, well, if the wide receiver's just okay, the quarterback will make him better. Because Bo Nix has not ever been to that point yet in Auburn. He has had his moments. He's had clutch moments from his very first game in college. He had clutch moments. But the kind of completion percentage we see, the kind of habits in the pocket rolling out and that sort of thing, you know, we've never really seen him be able to just calm everything down, make everyone around him better, that sort of thing. And I think, you know, this conversation began with Tank Bigsby and the other elements, but, of course, the offense is always going to come back to the quarterback, because Bo Nix, five-star guy, it's someone that Gus Malzahn, when he was still here, anointed him that he would win a championship of some kind at Auburn. And so that helps to place expectations on it, who he is in the Auburn family, who his dad is. That helps place expectations. And so I think, you know, I started by saying Tank Bigsby, and that is who I want to see more than anybody, but who everyone else wants to see more than anybody is Bo Nix.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like you mentioned, Ryan, he was a highly recruited guy coming out of Pinson Valley, five-star guy, and we know the tools he has. He's really athletic, maybe even more athletic than we realize at times, but he's a guy that for sure could scramble out of the pocket to make throws. But like you mentioned, something that we have not seen consistently, is him stay in the pocket and make a throw. It seems like he always has to roll out to the right, to the left to make a throw. Maybe that's just him not having enough faith in this offensive line. So we'll see what Nix does as far as next season is concerned. But this is a really pivotal year for him, because he is a guy that's been scrutinized a lot, and sometimes rightfully so, on the Plains. I mean, he did, like you said, have that big moment freshman year against Oregon, made that game-winning touchdown pass, but there were some flashes freshman year, but sophomore, you could tell he had a big regression, didn't look as comfortable, accuracy was way off. So I would love for Nix to really thrive in this system, and he's going to have to trust Mike Bobo, a guy who has developed pro-style quarterbacks in the past. I mean, the most notable guy I could think of is Matthew Stafford from Georgia, so we'll see if Bobo could kind of create some type of simple system like that. I mean, obviously, Nix isn't going to be a Stafford type of guy, but if Bo Nix could find some type of consistency, I'd say throw around 62 to 65% as far as completion percentage. That's a good start. I'd say 18, 20 touchdowns should be well in his range. I could definitely see Nix still having that athleticism, running for about four or five more touchdowns, and cut down on those interceptions as well, because some of those interceptions last year were absolutely ill-timed. So I think Nix has what it takes to thrive in this Mike Bobo-led system, and I think all he has to do is just believe in himself, calm down like you said as well, and trust that his offensive line is going to block, and trust these young receivers, and the sky's the limit for Bo Nix.
And you mentioned that, you know, the running element to Bo Nix, and I think that's what I'm looking forward to seeing is, you know, typically you don't associate a lot of running with the quarterback in a pro-style offense. And I'll be interested to see if Brian Harsin attempts it, because by the end of last year, I personally just became of the opinion I just wanted to see Bo Nix run, because I just didn't think it was going to happen in the air. I wanted a bridged version of the 2013-2014 Nick Marshall offense where you're just running him a lot and you're not worried. I mean, why are you worrying about injury at this point when you're already struggling to do the passing things with your quote-unquote passing quarterback? And so I'm interested to see what Harsin does with his offense, if he cares to put Bo Nix in running situations or if he kind of just makes sure that first and foremost and really the only thing that he really cares about is the passing development. And certainly for Bo in year three here, it seems to be now or never because he's going to have a new coach to work with him, new coaches to work with him. And then year three out of four in a college environment, you don't have much time left at that point. It's not like the NFL where you could still have a 10 or 15 year career. So we got to see something out of Bo Nix, and hopefully that will start tomorrow. When we come back, we will get to our birthdays in sports. We'll also go to the Auburn Bank phone line for the first time today. Retired Ward M. Steve will join us in just a little bit. This is Sports Call, Tiger 95.9, sportscallauburn.com.
Sports Call has been on the air since 1995. Want more Sports Call? Check us out online at sportscallauburn.com.
We continue on with the Friday edition of Sports Call, live on Tiger 95.9, sportscallauburn.com, or the Sports Call podcast if you are listening via that avenue, the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi. It's time for a segment that we do each and every day.
It's time for today's birthdays in sports.
The birthdays in sports today, as always, they're presented by The Hive Nutrition. Check out their variety of healthy shakes, loaded teas, beauty drinks, and specialty drinks with beverages that are between 200 and 250 calories and filled with 24 to 27 grams of protein. You won't have to sacrifice deliciousness for nutrition. The Hive is open Monday through Saturday and is located at 4184 Lee Road 146 in Auburn beside the Lazy Bee. Follow them on Facebook at The Hive Nutrition Club. The birthdays in sports today. I'm going to get the yucky guys out of the way. Those are the Duke guys. I hope JJ's still listening. Luol Deng turning 36 today. Former NBA player who played from 2004 to 2019 with the Chicago Bulls, Cleveland Cavaliers, Miami Heat. Also signed a ridiculous contract for the Los Angeles Lakers and Minnesota Timberwolves. Two-time NBA All-Star, 2012 NBA All-Second Defensive Team, 2005 All-NBA Rookie First Team, played college basketball at Duke. Seventh overall pick of the 2004 NBA Draft, is currently the head coach of the South Sudan men's basketball team. Did not know that. That was a little tidbit there.
Oh, yeah, Luol Deng, a guy who was a pretty steady player in his prime. I mean, fit the Bulls nicely when they had Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah. He was kind of that glue guy, defensive guy. And definitely things, like you mentioned, didn't work out that well in L.A. It was terrible, I should say, that contract.
And then Timofey Mozgov. Ooh. Brutal contract.
Dark times for Lakers fans back in those days. But Luol Deng, a solid player, and did not know about the head coaching at South Sudan. And little tidbit about the Duke players. I mean, I know JJ hosts a podcast, Locked On Blue Devils, so whenever a Duke birthday pops up, I try to make sure it's included on there if it's like a somewhat good Duke player, I'll say.
Here's a somewhat good Duke player. Wendell Carter Jr. turning 22, playing for the Orlando Magic after being traded by the Chicago Bulls in the trade deadline. Was drafted by the Bulls 7th overall in 2018. Was a 2018 second team All-ACC player while at Duke. Also was on the ACC All-Freshman team that year. Wendell Carter turning 22. Happy birthday to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Others know him as Lou Alcindor, turning 74. Former NBA center who played from 1969 to 1989 with the Milwaukee Bucks and Los Angeles Lakers. Six-time NBA champion, 19-time NBA All-Star, six-time NBA MVP, two-time NBA Finals MVP, 10-time All-NBA First Team, so many to read, five-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, 1970 NBA Rookie of the Year, three-time national champion at UCLA, three-time National College Player of the Year, first overall pick of the 1969 NBA Draft, NBA all-time leader in points scored, and was inducted into the National Basketball Hall of Fame in 1995. Woo! Just a few things there about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And with him, I feel like you got to include every single thing that is listed on that sheet because he is an amazing player. I mean, obviously neither one of us saw him play live in person and we're not alive to watch him on TV, but I just remember hearing about him and his famous skyhook and him pairing with Magic when Magic was a rookie and played throughout Magic throughout the 80s and even started out with Milwaukee and going on to UCLA. I mean, just so many accolades for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he's still kicking it today. So,
still kicking it in the National Football League is Bill Belichick, turning 69 nice years old today. Head coach of the New England Patriots, has also been the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, six-time Super Bowl champion, three-time AP NFL Coach of the Year, holds coaching record for most Super Bowl wins, appearances, and most playoff wins. He has 311 career wins in the regular season and postseason combined.
And who would have thought that Belichick would have turned out to be this type of coach, because he had some modest success with the Browns, but goes to the Patriots. First year is meh, but then we all know what happens after that. 2001, Tom Brady gets his chance to start in place of an injured Drew Bledsoe. Then Belichick's career just absolutely takes off, and he's the guy that many consider now as the greatest coach of all time. And be interesting to see what he does this year with a fully healthy Cam Newton, a bunch of offseason acquisitions. So we'll see if Belichick can work a little bit more of his magic to guide the Patriots to the playoffs in 2021.
Yeah, they were very active this offseason, so expecting a good year from New England, a bounce back year from New England next year, and hoping Cam Newton plays well as well. The final birthday today, turning 30 years old, Nolan Arenado. Third baseman for now the St. Louis Cardinals, played for the Colorado Rockies before that. Five-time All-Star, eight-time Gold Glove Award winner, four-time Silver Slugger Award winner, three-time NL home run leader, won a gold medal in the 2017 World Baseball Classic while playing for Team USA. Career .293 batting average with 237 career home runs. Nolan Arenado, I hope he does well in St. Louis, because I want him to prove that it was not just the Colorado air that made him such a great ball player. So Nolan Arenado turning 30 today. Those are the birthdays in sports brought to you by the Hive Nutrition Club. All right, let's go to our Auburn Bank phone line for the first time today at 887-341 locally, toll free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. And retired War Dam Steve joins us. Steve, how are you doing?
Hey, fine, gentlemen. Thank you again for taking my phone call as always. How have you guys been doing?
We've been good. We a little under the weather this morning because we got the vaccine yesterday, but we've been doing much better this afternoon.
Well, good. So you've taken the first round?
Second round. We are done.
Second round, okay. Well, I've had both of mine, and of course I'll be turning 70 in about a few weeks, but you know, we're supposed to have the older people, myself included, supposed to have a little bit more, or less the symptoms, and you guys unfortunately tend to have a more, I guess, pronounced symptoms. So I hope it doesn't get too adverse for you guys.
Yeah, no, we, like I said, just a little issues this morning with some symptoms, but hopefully that we got it yesterday, so hopefully we'll have to deal with it tomorrow, and we should be good from there.
Well, good. I want to applaud you for going ahead and taking the vaccines, because I know, unfortunately, there's still too many people who are reluctant and skeptical about taking these vaccines, but they are a lot safer than the risk of not taking them. So I appreciate you guys going ahead and doing that. All right, so let's get to it, guys. You know, this may be the last time making any more comments about this, but I unfortunately had my daughter text me again last night, and I unfortunately decided to take the bait and turned on the game. And, you know, who was it? Was it Tom that was talking about trends, or was it yourself, Ryan?
That was Tom, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the trend continues, doesn't it, guys?
It does.
Yep.
If we're ahead, we don't get that lead for long, do we?
Yeah. Just it's been tumultuous at the end of games for Auburn this year. That bullpen's just had a hard time. It was, I guess, not as bad last night, but it was still enough, unfortunately, in a close ball game.
And the trend is, you know, if we're ahead, we're probably going to get beat. And if we tie the game, we're still going to get beat, which is what happened last night. And, you know, we're 1-12 now. I've been reading some people, bloggers on 247 Sports, saying that apparently that they believe the Butch is safe. but maybe not so his assistants like Tim Hudson and Gabe Gross. So what are you guys' thoughts? Do you think we need to start from scratch again with some new people?
I don't know about that. I've been pleased with the offense this year. I mean, I really do not think they have been the problem at all. So I do not I would not really think of Gabe Gross as being someone that should be replaced. Obviously, the pitching's not done a great job this year, and so you do think about the job Tim Hudson has done, and you know you'd like to give a guy like that the benefit of the doubt. What this is his first full year,
yeah.
And you know I would be disappointed to think that someone of Tim Hudson's caliber would not get more than 1 year to try and do that job. But I mean, the facts are is that the bullpen's not been very good. A couple of the pitchers that were expected to be quite good in rotation for Auburn have either been injured or not as effective as thought. So, I mean, it's been a tough pitching season for Auburn. There's no doubting that.
And we supposedly had a good closer as a pitcher last night, Skipper, but that tenth inning, he couldn't strike anybody out.
Yeah, no, all around, you know, and I talked about this earlier this week, maybe it was last week, but for Auburn, it's like they had a great closer the last couple of years in Cody Greenhill, but they realized that he could also be a starter, and he's been an excellent starter. He's been their best starter, but it also left a hole in the bullpen. And so, of course, you're not going to say you don't want a one-something ERA out of one of your starters in Cody Greenhill, given that the other starters have kind of been on a carousel. But it, nevertheless, it left a hole that's clearly not been filled.
And you know, you may not know it, but I saw it this morning by reading some stats that we're at the bottom. We're at the bottom when it comes to ERAs. 7-point-something I read. I said, good Lord, that is horrendous, guys.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Those 17, 18, 19-run games that they've given up a couple times in SEC play can really get that up quick.
And at the, I'm trying to make some humor and sarcasm out of a bad situation, but, you know, I think, you know, the trend is, if we scored 100 runs, we'd probably still lose 101 to 100.
I mean, no lead seems to be safe, we'll put it that way.
And to me, I just find it incredible. But moving on to maybe softball, better note, I see that hopefully maybe we've got some momentum going. We'll see how that starts out tonight at Kentucky. And then basketball. Thank goodness for Miss Unique Thompson. She deserved it. She earned it. 19th pick overall, right?
Yes.
What kind of salary would that be for her? Do you guys have any clue?
No, could not tell you at all, Steve. Really do not know.
Okay. All right. And then I did not know we had such a dry spot, but she's the first one we've had drafted since 2009.
Yep, Javon was saying that earlier. Dawana Bonner's the previous Auburn Tiger to be drafted in women's basketball.
On the other hand, some good news. I see one of the assistants that's just been recently hired by our new women's coach is someone who apparently has a lot of pedigree behind on his resume from Texas A&M, right?
I did see that. I don't know a yes. whole lot, but I did see Auburn make another hire there.
Yeah, well, they say he's been to the Elite Eight and to the Final Four with some basketball programs.
Yes, you're so talking about Bob Starkey, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently he has a really good, I guess, pedigree or resume with him. So that's very encouraging. And then how ironic, guys, we lost 8-7 baseball last night, right?
Right.
Now, this is just coincidence, but we lost an equestrian to Baylor 8-7.
Yeah, that one, I saw Greg Williams, Auburn equestrian head coach, take Twitter and just say they were all very disappointed. They felt like they had let everyone down. But Alan Green responded to that and said, we all know how hard you're taking this loss, but you won an SEC championship. You still did right by Auburn and just one of those things. The streak had to come to an end at some point, and unfortunately it came to an end for Auburn Equestrian yesterday.
Well, isn't it also ironic that Baylor won in basketball the national championship and they beat us in the Equestrian, and they were one of the lower-ranked teams, I think ranked number 8.
Yes, they were. It was 1-8, yes.
Yeah, and I didn't know why that should have been a struggle for them, but I guess every good thing comes to an end. All right, you talk about A-Day game tomorrow, right, guys?
Yep, A-Day, 1 o'clock.
All right. I know you guys aren't going to be there, but I thought this was some pretty interesting information about our A-Day, I guess, maybe people who have gotten, I guess, some awards during A-Day game, and we never heard from them again. Here's some notable A-Day people that went invisible. 2012, you remember Kyle Frazier?
Yeah, well, he wasn't too invisible because he did not have a great year quarterbacking Auburn and then moved to linebacker. So that one
yeah,
was...
Well, yeah. I mean, he didn't pan out with the award that he got on the A-Day
right,
game.
Right,
do you remember Daniel Cobb?
Not really. Not particularly.
Yeah, well, he was 2002. He played a little bit starting quarterback, but that didn't last long either.
Yeah, yeah, I cannot say, I'll be honest with you, Steve, I do not remember 02 that well.
And then I went and looked at 2010, of course, the year for Cam Newton. Do you know who, of course, he didn't get any awards in the 2010 A-Day game? Quindarius Carr, though, got an offense. Antoine Carter on defense. And Wes Baum on kicking on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to look, well, what about 2013? You know, Mr. Nick Marshall?
Right.
Didn't get it.
Right, Cameron Artis Payne did, I believe.
Right, he sure did. Very good. So 2014, Nick Marshall did get it. And 2015, no quarterback got on offense. It was a wide receiver. And I don't remember this guy, gentlemen. Maybe you do. Myron Burton Jr.?
We were talking about that because we were trying to go through the last handful or so a little while ago, and we could not recall him. I don't remember if he was even on the roster the next year. I do not.
I mean, that was a total disappearing act.
Yeah.
Wow. I said, well, who was he? I overlooked him. So moving on, guys, I thought you might want to be interested in some what's Jason Caldwell, who are you looking for to get MVPs in the game tomorrow? He is thinking that Kaveris Johnson should maybe get an MVP.
Yeah, we've heard that name a lot during the spring. He's really impressed a lot of Auburn coaches.
He's picked two defensive guys for tomorrow, Ladarius Tennyson,
okay,
and Jaron Handy.
Okay, some of the younger guys there, especially Handy. I guess. Both
and then, he has some nuggets on JT Thor, which were not very encouraging. At least not from my if you're a fan of an Auburn fan. And he said this because someone asked him about JT Thor's update status. He said his belief was that he's not ready to make the jump to the NBA. Then he went on to say this, which to me was troubling. He said that JT Thor has not been working out with returning players. And he went on to say, I'm sure the coaches are not happy about that. But I won't be surprised if he's back with the team for next season. What do you make of that, guys? He's not practicing with the returning players.
You know, so when you're going through the NBA draft process, some guys train with the team still. Because it's what they're familiar with and they know what they're going to get. Some guys go off and do it on their own, though. So I don't know if it's more of he is just trying really hard to train in front of guys more entailed with the NBA. You know, I talked about this a couple of days ago when we went over the depth chart for Auburn. What JT Thor might also be thinking, because I agree, I don't think he should go pro. I don't. And I'm not one of those that just says, oh, stay 4 years, that kind of thing. He's not going to get drafted in all likelihood. You should not go pro if you cannot guarantee you're going to get drafted. And so with JT Thor, it seems like a no-brainer to come back, but now he's probably looking at Walker Kessler transferring in. He knows that five-star Jabari Smith is going to play that position, and you still have Jalen Williams as well. JT Thor would be important to Auburn next year. I'm not saying he wouldn't be. However, it would not be a foregone conclusion that he would just waltz into a starting role and play 30 minutes a game with what Auburn's going to have in their front court next year.
Well, I've always had the notion, the perception may be wrong, that competition usually makes people get better.
Sure. No, I don't disagree with that. But he also might be thinking of, what if I don't win that competition, and what if the scouts really stop noticing me and notice my teammates and I lose my chance of playing time?
Well, I know in the NFL they do this when they, you know, declare for the draft or just to see, you know, they get feedback, right, from the NFL scouts on the teams as to what their, you know, likelihood is, you know, and the strength for them being drafted. Do they not do the same thing, give feedback to the people who are looking at the NBA draft?
Oh, no, they definitely do, and they give them a long time to pull their name out. I think he has till June or early July or something like that.
They're going to give him the real story, the facts about what they see as his likelihood of being drafted, right?
Sure. No, absolutely. Now, it would be up to him to make the correct decision based off of that, but, yeah, no, they're not going to tell JT Thor he's going to be a first-round pick when he's not even probably going to get drafted. They're not going to lie to him like that.
Okay. Or do you see him maybe just going to the G League?
And that's what he could be thinking. I mean, you know, some guys, there's plenty of guys just like in football that go undrafted that get opportunities in the summer league and then, as you said, in the G League. My thing is, why would you leave after 1 year just to be in the quote-unquote AAA of basketball? That's just me personally. I wouldn't do that. Now, him, he might just be ready to be professional. He might have personal things that we don't know about. He might just have, want to start his career as soon as possible. Everyone is different, and we do have to understand that. But for me, on the surface, what I see, I just would not go pro right now.
Okay. Last but not least, I thought you might want to hear some nuggets from Mr. Philip Marshall on his comm day for Your Eyes Only from some people he said who are, you know, on the inside of the Auburn football program. And some of these nuggets I thought were pretty interesting. He says first that there's been a learning curve, obviously, but Auburn, according to these insiders, has a talent on defense to succeed at a high level. Another nugget is the offensive line is better than most people think. And he says guard Sean Manning will play on Sundays, according to this insider, and that Bre'Darrius Ham is healthy and can be overpowering. Another nugget, Auburn's wide receivers, according to this insider, are way more talented than are perceived to be. Another nugget, Anders Carlson is kicking like an All-American.
I could have told you that based off of last year. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and he says, Auburn players were not sure what to expect when Carlson took over as head coach. But most now, those doubts have been erased. He also says, according to this insider, you'll probably see more of Auburn's top players get significant snaps Saturday than in previous A-Day games. And that Tank Bigsby is not only a great player, but a great leader. Now, I know most of the A-Day games I've been to, the top players, if you see them at all, might play for, what, maybe one quarter, if even that, and then you don't see them anymore, right?
Yeah. Say that again one more time, Steve. I'm sorry.
Sure. Usually the A-Day games I've been to, your starters, you might see them maybe for the first quarter of the game, and then they're gone. You don't see them anymore. You just get second, third, and fourth team players.
Yeah, that sort of thing is just kind of up to each individual coach. So that might be something else that Brian Harsin might do differently. And then also, because he's a new coach, he might want to see more of his perceived starters in a game-like situation, since he himself has not gotten to be on the sideline for an Auburn game when it really counts. So, in general, yes, they do not play full games. They do not play most of the game. However, in this situation, you could sell me on Bo playing three quarters of it, or various guys playing a lot more than you would expect.
Yeah. Also, this was a piece of a nugget of information from Philip Marshall. You know, about the transfer portal, and I've had some skepticism about it. You know, he said only 35% of the transfer portal people got wanted by anybody else. I didn't know it was that low.
Me neither.
So that was pretty telling. And I know, you know, I don't know what part you guys played in, but I really enjoyed y'all having Sammy Coates on yesterday again. He's just a really neat, great player, one of my best receivers. I've enjoyed having him on there. And the comments from Brad Crawford were at times entertaining. I don't know what to make of, you know, his believing that Alabama's going to continue with all these five-star players. The only thing I can think of, you know, when will we find out about who the bag man is that's getting all these five-star recruits to come to Alabama, right?
Well, I'm still waiting for to find that out about Kentucky, but yet we wait. So I don't think we're going to find that out unless someone's really stupid.
Yeah, and speaking of staying with basketball real quickly, I guess you saw where Jeff Lebo – is going to be an assistant coach at UNC.
I did. Played for North Carolina, obviously coached here at Auburn for a while, and I think that's a good hire. I think that's the best hire that Hubert Davis made of his coaching assistants.
Yeah, and I wish him best there. And remember, guys, I said to you I wasn't sure, but the NCAA apparently ruled, I think, 2 days ago to make it final that the transfer portal will be allowed.
Yes.
One time only.
Yes.
Yep.
Did
yep.
see that. I think you asked about it, and then that same night they made it official.
Right. And that goes for all sports?
To my knowledge.
I believe so, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. But this only is it only for this one season, or is it infinitely?
Don't know. I think it's going to be a year-by-year thing. I'm not 100% sure, though. We'd have to do more research.
Okay. All right. Guys, let's be just real honest with each other, please. Because I know maybe been Brad Croft or someone saying that, well, you know, we're not out of the running yet to make it to the regionals or even make it to the SEC tournament. Is it still the top 12, or is it everybody goes to the SEC tournament?
I think it's the top 12 still. They still have that rule intact.
Okay. Are we pretty much dead in the water now?
Not dead in the water. There's still too much conference play, but they need to win these next two against Alabama. They need to get it going back in the right direction.
What tells you that that's even likely at this point, guys?
I don't think it's necessarily likely, but I think it's possible based off the fact that Auburn plays a lot of close games with a lot of teams. I mean, they're going to have to I know they keep losing these close games, but it means they're good enough to be in these games. I mean, they did that with Arkansas. They could have swept Arkansas. So they need to get some good luck out of their bullpen, honestly, but they're in these games. I think they can do it, absolutely.
But you know, guys, it doesn't matter if you lose by one run or 21.
Well, I know, but and this needs to be the last thing, Steve, because we also need to get on to a break. But
sure.
The fact that Auburn is battling back in these games, the fact that Auburn is tied in these games, yes, one run loss is the same as a 10-run loss on the win-loss sheet. But what a one-run loss tells me is one pitch here or there could have changed the outcome of that game. If you lose by 6, 7, 8 runs, you've got a lot of problems with your team, not just one or two. And so for Auburn losing all these close games, one at-bat, one inning is what's deciding these games. And so that is more fixable than having four innings of really bad baseball.
So even though we've lost 7 out of the last 8 games by one run, you don't see it as a bad thing. Because I always thought bad teams.
No, that's not what I said.
This is what bad teams do. They lose by one or two runs.
That's not what I said. I said, simply put, it is more realistic for a team losing close games to figure out how to win than a team getting blown out week in, week out. That's what I mean.
Okay. Here. Well, I hope that your perspective is the correct one because this has gotten so just old. All right. Hey, guys, thank you for letting me whine and ramble here. I hope you guys have a pleasant, relaxing, entertaining weekend for yourselves, safe weekend for everybody. And we'll talk to you on Monday, and hopefully we'll have some good Auburn sports outcomes.
War Eagle, Steve, we appreciate the phone call as always. That is retired Ward AM Steve there on our Auburn Bank phone line. Let's go to our final break of hour number one, the Sports Call, Tiger 95.9, sportscallauburn.com.
Brett Bowen, voice of Auburn women's basketball and Auburn softball. You're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Final segment of hour number one here on this Friday edition of Sports Call, the day before Auburn A-Day, tomorrow 1 o'clock. Just a reminder, we get off early today, 4:15, Auburn softball taking on number 12 Kentucky, 4:45 airtime here on Tiger 95.9. And J.J. Jackson will have the call of that one, 5 o'clock first pitch for the Tigers. Then over on our sister station, FM Talk 93.9, game two of a series between Auburn and Alabama on the baseball diamond. About 4 or 5 minutes left here. Now we're number one. Let's go back to our Auburn Bank phone line, and Jeff from Columbus joins us. Jeff, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing great, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing quite
doing
well.
Good.
Good, good. Hey, who all do you have in there today? I know JJ's gone.
Just myself and Javon Cutler.
Javon Cutler, okay. Yeah. Hey, the young crew.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Yeah, short of Tom and Bill, I guess everybody's a young crew.
Pretty much, yeah.
Hey, man, it's kind of weird. You know, I'm a Georgia fan, but it makes no sense when Steve is looking for a money man for Alabama's five-star recruiting record. You know, I really do not understand why Alabama doesn't have a whole roster of five stars. I mean, if you want to go and be the best and play, you know, and show your talents and your skills and go to the next level, to the NFL, why would you not go to Alabama?
Well, I mean,
you know, if
I guess that was rhetorical.
Yeah, it is, but I'm just saying. The only reason I can even think that they have a four-star is either, one, Nick Saban sees something, or the coaching staff sees something that they think is better, you know, or that they can work with, you know, or that you can't get a five-star to come in because there's too much talent there.
Right.
There won't be enough playing time. But other than that, you'd be crazy not to go to Alabama if they offered you a scholarship.
Well,
they don't need a bag full of money.
Well, I'm not ensuing that either.
I thought
he was talking about basketball too, but I guess he was talking about football because Alabama's now recruiting very well in basketball as well.
But Auburn, the same thing happened to them.
Sure.
When Bruce Pearl came and everybody said, "Hey, he's up to his old tricks," right?
Sure.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I think there's, and I've talked to Trevon a lot about this. You know, there's more factors with each individual person than I think we take into account for. Because, look, if you go to Alabama, you're going to play for championships. You're going to go to the NFL, and that seems to be good enough on the surface. But some people really care about relationships with coaches. And it's not that Alabama doesn't have great coaches besides Nick Saban, because they do. I mean, Georgia's head coach was once upon a time a great coach at Alabama coordinating the defense. But some guys connect with other people on other staffs. And Trevon talks about his relationship with some of the Auburn coaching staff and why he didn't go to LSU in his home state and why he went to Auburn instead. And so you're right. Some of those guys maybe are going to be blocked by other five-star guys, by other great guys. But there's also going to be times where, you know, Alabama is going to be great and they're going to be awesome and I would succeed there, but maybe I just want to connect. Maybe I need a father figure in my life. Maybe I need somebody that understands me just a little bit better. So maybe I go here instead of there. That I think that's what happens sometimes.
And that's a good point, because you always hear Trevon mention about the Auburn family and whoever else you talk to as far as football player or whatever athlete, they always talk about the Auburn family. It's just a connected, more kind of family atmosphere, it feels like, sometimes to a place like Auburn as compared to a place like Alabama, where it's kind of more of a factory where they're churning out players left and right. But is it really a family type of atmosphere?
That is wholeheartedly the only, probably one of the major factors of Alabama maybe not having a whole list of five stars, because I mean, you know, people rub people the wrong way. I mean, even back in my youth playing for on different teams and stuff like that, you'd get one coach, you knew him, he was a good guy, but then the next year you get this other coach and boy, he just, you know, he's like Vince Lombardi.
Sure.
Right. You know, so I can see Nick Saban, he's definitely that way. Right. So, I was just every time Steve says that about looking for a bag man and stuff like that, it just gets me, because it is weird. There's a guy that goes to my daughter's school that's getting all these scholarship offers and stuff like that from all the major schools. And he's got one from Alabama. He's got one from Georgia. He's got one. And I go, man, he should just, you know, I would think it'd be just that easy to say, man, if this is what you're going to do with your life, if you're going to play football for a living, you might as well go to Alabama, because it's almost like a lock, you know, that if you're any good, you know, you'll be showcased and you'll go from there. So,
sure.
But I just thought I'd it was Friday. I didn't have anything else to do, so I figured I might as well give you all a call. I hope I didn't waste all your 4 or 5 minutes, but I do appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate that, Jeff. As the first hour bell here is about to hit, I agree. I think that it's important to remember that, there are a lot of different ways you can get somebody to commit to your school. There's a lot of different ways in which you can build someone wants to go. And there's also, to a point, you can get blocked by guys. And I think that's what can happen sometimes with Alabama recruiting, as well as, someone like Georgia or someone like LSU. Some of those schools are going to have blockages at certain positions, and it can get kind of hard at some point there too. We are out of time at hour number one. Just a few minutes left in the show. When we come back, we'll have 1-7 in hour number two. And we will do Sports Call's Player of the Week. We've still not gotten to do that this week yet. This is Sports Call, Tiger 95.9, SportsCallAuburn.com.
Did you miss any of today's show or want to listen to a segment or interview again? Check out the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi anytime, on demand, wherever you get your podcast. From Apple Music to Google Play to Spotify, our podcast is everywhere. Enjoy an ice-cold Pepsi to go along with the hottest sports talk. Thank you for always listening to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Pepsi, that's what I like.
Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Hour number two starting now. I'm Ryan Lavoy. Alongside of me is Javon Cutler, and you are listening to Sports Call here on Tiger 95.9, SportsCallAuburn.com. Hour two starting now, but it is a very minuscule hour number two. Just one segment here as we get off air in about 9 or 10 minutes. Auburn softball will be coming on this airwave at 4:45. First pitch scheduled for just around 5 o'clock. Auburn softball opening up a series with Kentucky. As I said, I'm Ryan Lavoy alongside of Javon Cutler. And we are here because J.J. Jackson is there. He'll be calling Auburn softball here on the network, and then over on our sister station, FM Talk 93.9, Auburn baseball, game two of a series against Alabama and Tuscaloosa. That one is 6 o'clock tonight, 5:45 airtime. Auburn with another heartbreaker last night, losing in 10 innings, 8-7. And then also on our other sister station, 1230 WAUDAM, the Atlanta Braves taking on the Chicago Cubs from Wrigley Field, first of a three-game set. Braves were walk-off winners yesterday against Miami. They're off to a really good start today. They lead the Cubs 4-2 in the seventh inning. You can listen to that game on our station, WAUD, 1230 AM. Braves have a runner on second. No one out in the seventh inning, trying to stretch out that lead, which segues perfectly into our Player of the Week. Usually we do this on Tuesday or Wednesday, but the week we had a lot of short shows. We had a lot of other things to get to, and it's still relevant here on this Friday. So let's get you to this week's Sports Call Player of the Week.
Ronald Acuña Jr. is Sports Call's Player of the Week. Acuña Jr. had an incredible past week as he hit for a .583 batting average with 4 home runs and 4 doubles as the Braves won series against the Washington Nationals and Philadelphia Phillies. The young superstar showcased all of his special tools, including lightning fast speed and raw power. The Braves started off the season 0-4, but have since won 4 out of their last 5 to climb out of the basement of the NL East. Ronald Acuña Jr. is Sports Call's Player of the Week.
This week's Sports Call Player of the Week, as you heard, Ronald Acuña Jr. He's got a shot at being next week's Player of the Week, too. Javon, talk about the play of Acuña so far this season.
He's been doing really great this year, and he's a guy that's been a slow starter at times throughout his career, but he's been absolutely on fire this year, batting well over 400, 7 home runs. I believe he has 16 RBIs now, an OPS well above 1,000. So he's been on a tear this year, and he's been on a mission, it feels like, this year as well. A lot of the coaches, when I've been hearing the Braves broadcast, have been saying that Acuña's came into spring training in much better shape. He looked leaner, he looked stronger, looked faster. So it looks like Acuña really spent this offseason working on his craft and becoming more of a complete hitter, because he was a guy at times from the first couple of years of his career, he would strike out a lot. But now it seems like he's a guy that's much more well aware of plate discipline, is hitting the ball to all fields, which is an impressive thing to do with power especially. And Acuña, maybe he heard some of these naysayers from this past offseason, because everybody was ready to anoint Fernando Tatis Jr. as that next-gen player. Like, this guy's going to be the future face of the MLB, but Ronald Acuña Jr. is like, not so fast. I'm a guy that's still here. I'm still a superstar player. I'm only 23 years old. I've done it for much longer than Tatis Jr., and Acuña for sure is looking to replicate what he did last year and the year before, and he was so close to that 40-40 or a couple years ago, so I think that Acuña has a real shot to achieve that mark. And let's face it, the Braves offense hasn't been that great this year, and Acuña Jr. has been the guy that's been at times, or I should say more than often than not, single-handedly carrying this Braves offense.
Yeah, with Ronald, you know, a couple years ago when he was really just in like his first full season, when he got called up and when the Braves first started to put him in the leadoff spot, I remember talking about how, you know, I wasn't necessarily against it. Okay, I'm not saying that, but I had my questions about it, because it's someone so powerful, so capable of producing so many runs. That's just not traditionally what you have of a leadoff hitter. I didn't want him to be Alfonso Soriano in Washington when Soriano had 40 home runs and like 86 RBIs. Because that just doesn't seem like it's the most productive thing for your team. But as time has gone on, I'll say when I was wrong, and like I said, I wasn't full-fledged, oh, he can't bat lead, oh, he's not a contact hitter, blah, blah, blah. But I was wrong in ever doubting it, because his run production in the sense of scoring runs is absolutely what you hope for in a leadoff hitter, regardless of the strikeouts. Everyone's striking out in today's Major League Baseball. There's not many guys that don't strike out 100 times anymore. Hank Aaron never struck out 100 times in a season, but most guys strike out at least 100 times every season. And so you can live with the strikeouts, but what you've always pleaded with a guy like Acuña is that please do hit the ball, even if it's out, because you're so fast you'll get a few hits that others would not. Like on Sunday Night Baseball, when he leads off that game with the Phillies. I think it was on Sunday Night Baseball. I
believe so, yeah.
Where he hits a ground ball to short, and it's the most routine ground ball to short in league history. And it's an infield single. Why? Because he hustled, he ran hard, he's fast, and Didi Gregorius was not urgent enough. That kind of thing makes him perfect for a leadoff hitter. And then, oh, by the way, why did we ever think that we needed to have your best hitters hit third and fourth and have okay hitters hit first and second? Because first and second get the most at-bats. Move the lineup up to give your best hitters the best at-bats. I'm liking Freddie Freeman hit second right now. I'm not saying that because they've won a couple in a row. That's a little too shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. They're winning this game, trying to win two in a row. Not because they've had a couple good games in a row, but because Freddie Freeman is a great on-base guy. He's obviously the reigning MVP. He's going to hit for a lot of power. But he's also going to take his walks. He's hitting like 195 right now, but his on-base is over 300 because he walks all the time, because he's got good plate discipline. So those guys, despite being, like, you'd normally think Freeman would be your three hitter, and he has been most of this time, and Acuña would be your four hitter because of all of his pure power. They're perfect one and two because they do the things that leadoff guys usually do. Acuña runs very well. Like you said, he's a 40 stolen base threat. He puts pressure on your defense. He scores a ton of runs. He runs the bases very well. And then Freddie Freeman gets on base a lot. So when you have Marcell Ozuna and the way Travis d'Arnaud's played as a Brave, those are plenty good run production guys in the three and four spots. So I'm liking the way this Braves lineup is shaping out, and I'm loving Ronald Acuña Jr. as this week's Sports Call Player of the Week. He's been phenomenal. He's had a good game today. He's had a good game yesterday, the day before that, the day before that, the day before that. So he's been really great for the Braves, and we hope that continues as they lead the Cubs 5-2 in the seventh. All right, just a couple minutes left in the show and for today and for the week, so let's get you this.
Our show is about to end, but we've got you covered on entertainment for the evening. Here's Sports Call's nightly TV guide.
Last TV guide of the week. Javon, what you got?
Got a good amount of events here for the nightly TV guide. Starting off the nightly TV guide, if you're into NBA, we've got you covered tonight. We've got a doubleheader for the NBA. I believe it's 76ers playing tonight. Let me double check that just to make sure, but should be a really good game.
Yeah, Joel Embiid's been great this year, almost averaging 30 and 11.
Technology is failing me right now, so my computer is slow to load. But in the meantime, let me get to this. And actually, it's loading just right now. Sorry about that technical difficulties, but Philadelphia 76ers are playing the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers are surging right now as of late, looking really good. Paul George is playing up to his potential, I'll say. I mean, we all kind of slander him at times. Pandemic P for his failed postseason performances. But as of right now, Paul George is playing really well. Philadelphia 76ers are playing absolutely phenomenal right now. Joel Embiid's finally living up to the potential of being an MVP caliber player. Sixers under Doc Rivers looking great as of right now. So great start for 76ers and Clippers. That will be a 6:30 tip-off time on ESPN. 8:30 p.m. Central Time ESPN. We've got the New York Knicks, who surprisingly have a good record this year. They're playing really well under Tom Thibodeau, as they go to Dallas to face off against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. So the Knicks and Mavericks might be a sneaky good game. And saw this statistic, I think, this morning on SportsCenter, where the Knicks actually have the third best defense in the league. So they're playing really hard under Tibbs.
Tibbs is known for that. He's known for a certain kind of culture, and he's put some real discipline into a really young team.
Moving over to general nightly TV guide things, 7 p.m. on ABC is Shark Tank. Show for those who are interested in the business side of things, and it also features a guy who is well immersed in the NBA culture with Mark Cuban, who does make appearances at times and times.
Involved in tonight's game as the owner
that
of
that too,
Mavericks.
Yeah. So how about that segue? Didn't even realize it, but Mark Cuban's on there. You have Damon John on there in a rotating cast of business entrepreneurs who look to help other business entrepreneurs reach their full potential and perhaps help them out with the stake in the company. 7 p.m. CBS is MacGyver, an action-packed show. It's a reboot of a show that came on, I believe, in the 1980s. So MacGyver comes on at 7 p.m. on CBS. And last but not least, for those wrestling fans, we've got Friday Night SmackDown, 7 p.m. on Fox, live from the WWE Thunderdome in St. Petersburg, Florida. But with that being said, that is the Nightly TV Guide, brought to you by Coca-Cola.
Thank you for that, Javon. That's going to do it for our week of Sports Call here. I do want to throw out as well just a little something what to watch for this weekend. Of course, Auburn A-Day tomorrow, Jordan-Hare Stadium, 1 o'clock. WQSI FM Talk 93.9 is the place to listen to that. There's more Braves baseball. Lots of things continue to go on in the sports world. Golf, RBC Heritage, NASCAR at Richmond, another short track. So enjoy the sports this weekend, as always. We'll be back with a fresh show on Monday. J.J. Jackson will be back with everyone. Once again, catch softball right here in about 30 minutes with J.J. Jackson on the call. For all those that tuned in and called in today, and for my co-host, Javon Cutler, I'm Ryan Lavoy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi. We hope you enjoyed Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Pepsi, that's what I like.